Thanks for listening to MCC's podcast. Have a great day and enjoy the message.
Well, hey, I want you to grab a pen, maybe your bulletin or something to write on. I want you to write down this question. What are you doing here? Write down this question. What are you doing here? Wow, what a question. I want you to just reflect on that question as you're writing it down. And we're going to talk about this question this morning because this was the question that God asked Elijah when he was about to walk off the field. He was about to let it go. And the reason that we want to look at this question, and we're going to read the scriptures in just a minute in 1 Kings chapter 19 as we wrap up our series on Elijah. The reason this question is important for us today is that if we don't understand what we're doing here, if we don't understand why we're here, why do we come to church? Why do we do this thing called Christianity? Then we no longer have a reason to stay. Amen? If we forget what it's all about, if we forget what we're doing, if we forget the why behind what we're doing here, then we no longer have a reason to stay. So today's message is really geared to those of us who maybe we've been in church for some time. And so if you're newer to church, we just invite you to continue to listen along with us. We believe that God has something to say to you. But this message is really geared for those of us who maybe you've been here for a while. And perhaps you, maybe your kids even grew up here in the church. You raised your kids here at this church or another church. Perhaps you've served on a team already. You've greeted people who've showed up on Sunday morning at a door. Or maybe you've cooked a meal in the kitchen for one of our FX events. You've served on a team. And this morning, maybe you would consider yourself pretty faithful. You know, you give in the offering. You participate with things like Faith Promise. And you would consider yourself pretty faithful in your attendance to church. But I want you to look at that question that you wrote down. Is there a sense of familiarity to that question? Have you ever found yourself sitting in church kind of wondering that same question? That sense in your heart, maybe not necessarily that God was asking you directly, but somewhere inside you were even possibly just asking yourself, what am I doing here? So again, we're going to read in 1 Kings chapter 19. And just to kind of set up the story here, what's happened is that, as where we kind of landed last week with Pastor Dwayne, is Elijah, he found himself pretty much disillusioned and disappointed with his current Christian experience. He was disillusioned and disappointed with his Christian experience, as it were. Elijah was really... He was still showing up. He was still walking with God. But honestly, Elijah was ready to throw in the towel. And he didn't like what was happening in the land. He didn't like what was happening around him with God's people. He didn't feel like it was supposed to look like what he felt it should have looked like. So he traveled back to the place where God had been before. Or so he thought. He makes his journey back to Sinai, and we read in the Old Testament in Sinai. Sinai is the place where when God, he brought his people, Israel, out of the bondage of Egypt. He brought them to this mountain called Sinai, where he would reveal himself. And in the old days, when God revealed himself in Sinai, it says that the people were at the base of this mountain, and when God showed up, he showed up on the mountain, and it says that the mountain literally shook with God's presence. You guys maybe have read that in Exodus. The mountain shook, and it says when the people of God, when they looked at the mountain, it looked as if the mountain was on fire with his presence. It was a scary sight. And Elijah, he's trying to recalibrate his Christian experience, his walk with God. And so he thinks, you know what? I need to go back to this place where God used to reveal himself to his people. And when Elijah, he shows up at Mount Sinai, he finds a cave to go into. And God, he calls Elijah out of the cave. He says, Elijah, I need you to come out of the cave and stand on the mountain for a minute because I need you to show you something. I need you to see something. And so it says, as Elijah was standing there, God sent a great wind. A wind that was so powerful, it says that the rocks were actually split with the power of this wind. But then the Bible says this, God was not in the wind. And then God, it says that he sent a great earthquake, and the mountain that Elijah was standing on was literally shaken by this earthquake. But the scriptures say that God was not in the earthquake. And one more time, Elijah is standing there, and God sent, it says, a great fire that moved across the mountain. A scary sight, no doubt, but the scriptures say this once again. God was not in the fire. And then God spoke to Elijah, and it says, in a still, small voice. You see, I think God wanted Elijah to understand and to see that he was doing something new. That the old experiences of God and the journey that his people had walked in before, they were great and they were glorious in the time, but that was a different season. God was doing something new today, and he needed Elijah to understand that. If Elijah was to get out of his cave and complete his calling, he needed Elijah to understand that God was doing something new. And let's pick up reading chapter 19. We're going to start in verse 13. So the Lord, he speaks to Elijah in the still small voice. Verse 13. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you. They've torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Did you notice there that Elijah, he didn't really answer God's question, did he? God's question was, "What are you doing here in this location? God, Elijah, tell me, where are you at?" And Elijah's response is, "You know what, God? I've ran that race. I think I ran it pretty good. And I think that I'm good now. I've been there and done that. I've paid my dues, and I think I'm just going to enjoy the pew for a little while. They don't even love you like I did. You know, back in the day, man, we really loved God. Back in the day, we didn't sing this crazy new rock and roll stuff, man. We sung the real songs." Sorry, I'm really not trying to be funny because it's very real, right? But you're laughing because it's true, right? I have. And the younger generation is just as guilty of being judgmental. If they really got it, they would understand and get with it, right? Here we find this prophet. He's got an incredible call in his life, one of the greatest prophets of all times, and he's sitting in a cave of self-pity. Me. No, this is always true, that a me-centered mindset will keep you from your mission. If we want to fulfill our calling, we have to understand that the enemy wants to trap us in a me-centered mindset. And it's no doubt it's tough for us as Americans. You know why? Because we live in such a consumeristic culture. Everything is about me. You know, usually I've talked to, I work with the students here. I talk to young people, and I've talked to old people who've been in church forever. And usually when I speak with someone who finds themselves in a place that they're disillusioned and disappointed with church, you know what's usually part in the conversation? Is I this, I that. And many times there's a they. Well, they this, they that. That's why I'm here. And I deserve to be here. It's centered around unmet expectations. And the enemy would love church for to trap us there. But man, I just love the life that we've experienced this morning. May we never lose that. May we always pursue it and walk in it. But the enemy would love to trap us and get us into the cave of self-pity. Unmet expectations. No one called me. I just don't feel fed. I've paid my dues in the church. And I love that God, just like Elijah didn't really answer God's question, God doesn't pay any attention to all of Elijah's excuses. He pays no attention to them. God basically tells Elijah, okay, so what's your plan? Are you just going to get up and leave and go somewhere else? What's your plan, Elijah? He ignores what Elijah says in his complaints, and then God says this. He basically says, okay, get up, go back, and do it again. Get up, go back, and do it again. Let's read that, picking up in verse 15. 1 Kings 19:15, and then the Lord told him, go back the way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram, and anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Mola, to replace you as my prophet. God tells Elijah, it's time for you to get out of your cave, walk that road again, but this time, Elijah, I want you to walk that road with the next generation beside you. You see, Elijah, there's a couple of young men that have a destiny in Israel to change the world. And I need you to get up, to get your eyes off yourself, to walk with the next generation. Anoint them and release them into their destiny. God tells Elijah, I'm not done with you yet. I love that Elijah, he responded to the question. He got up and he left his retirement cave. Let's pick up in verse 19. It says, so Elijah went and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, plowing in a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elijah was plowing with the 12th team. And Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there and ran after Elijah and said to him, first, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. So here in this passage, Elijah, he finds Elisha in the field. This is a lot of Ijahs. Y'all bear with me if I mix a few up here. But Elijah, he goes and he finds Elisha plowing in the field, and pretty much he just kind of walks up to him and throws his cloak over him and is literally walking off the field. He's walking out of the field. So here we see Elijah, he's been obedient to God, but he hasn't fully embraced the vision, I think, that God had for him. Here you go. Here's the keys to the church. I hope you have a better experience than I did. You know? But I love Elisha's response, because Elisha, by God's grace, is able to understand what it means to be a prophet. He understands the power of the calling to be a prophet, to walk and to represent God. And he chases Elijah down and he says, listen, let me go say goodbye and then I will go with you. Elijah, you know, it's not enough to just get your cloak. I need you to walk with me to show me what it's like and show me how to be a prophet. Elijah, I need a father. If I'm going to do this, if I'm going to fulfill the commission that God has given to the next generation, I need a father to walk with me and show me what it means to be a prophet of God. Elisha learned how to walk with God by walking with Elijah. So first week of this series, Pastor Matt shared with us that they did some research and was able to rustle up a picture of Elijah. You remember that? Yeah, well, the Bible says that Elijah was a hairy man, and he wore a leather belt, and Pastor Matt showed us a picture of Chewbacca. I don't have another picture. It was quite comical. But I went back to the archives, and we said, do you happen to have another picture, this time of Elisha? You see, you got to understand this before I show you the picture, that the Bible says that Elisha was really different than Elijah. In fact, Elisha didn't have hair. He was not hairy at all. And so this is the picture that they sent us there of Elisha. Oh, I love Mitch. I'm able to share that today because I'm working on my Elisha anointing. In fact, one of my teenage daughters told me the other day, she says, Dad, you know, you really should stop wearing gel in your hair. I'm kind of showing how thin it's getting there. And it was a sad week in my house because there's a package that showed up, and as there's been discussions about my hairline receding, and my wife has actually purchased me some hair loss shampoo that I have begun to use. I'm sure it doesn't work. There was a typo on the label. But anyway. So Elisha, he learned how to walk with God by walking with Elijah. And these two guys, they actually walked together for some time. So we see behind the scenes, that are kind of between the lines, that Elijah worked himself out of this Christian experience funk that he found himself in. And he began to capture the vision that God's kingdom is still being established on earth, and he wants to do that to the next generation. So the question this morning for us is, who are we walking with? Let me ask you, who are you walking with? Who are you walking with today? Who is going with you? We're going to move over to 2 Kings now. 2 Kings chapter 2. And the Bible mentions four places that Elijah walked with Elisha through. And I believe that these four places really represent places that we need to walk our young people through today. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. Now, why does God put that word Gilgal in the Bible? Gilgal was a significant place for God's people. You see, Gilgal was the place where, when God brought his people out of the bondage of Egypt, he brought them through the desert into the Jordan River. And they were about to cross over into their promised land. And Gilgal was the place where the priests, it says, they stepped down into the river with the Ark of the Covenant, and the river divided, and God's people walked across the river into their promised land that God had promised them. So Gilgal represents the place of God's promise. And the Bible says that when Israel went across, they set up a pillar of stones to mark what God had done so that generations in the future could remember the works of God. Church, we need to walk with the next generation and take them to our Gilgals. The next generation needs to hear your story, your salvation story. When God brought you out of Egypt, when God moved in your life, when he brought you into the promised land, they need to see our pillars of God's promise. You see, because the next generation, their Sinai experience is going to be different than ours. But you know what? They still need to hear about ours to give them hope and encouragement to follow God. So share your story. Tell your kids how God brought you out of Egypt. Not that you're perfect, but that God moved in your life. Let's continue reading. Verse 2. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord God has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went down together to Bethel. And Bethel represents the place of God's presence. You see, years ago when Jacob, their forefathers, had experienced God in this place, when God showed up, he named the place Bethel. And Bethel means the house of God. So I find it interesting that Elijah and Elisha would walk through this place. Church, we need to teach the next generation that God's house is a priority. Bethel means God's house. And Elijah walked Elisha through that place. We need to show the next generation how to set up camp in God's house. We know through statistics that the church is, many people are walking away from church. You know what, church? The world won't teach the next generation how to prioritize God's house unless we do. Amen? The world is not going to teach them that. So we have to ask ourselves, does your family schedule, is it teaching the next generation that God's house, that community in God's house with the bride of Christ is a priority? There's so many things coming at our lives today. So how is our family schedule teaching the next generation about the priority of God's house? Does our words say that God's house is valuable and important and critical to continue in our walk and our mission with God? Does our finances, does our worship, does our Bible study, is it telling our kids, is it telling these kids down the hallway, is it telling our students that God's house is a priority? Don't abandon it. Don't walk away from it. When is the last time your kids caught you praying? When is the last time they caught you in God's word? And I ask myself that question because life can wear you down, can't it? It can wear you down. But it burdens my heart when I think, oh my gosh, how long has it been since my kids caught me sitting on the couch with the word? I hope it hasn't been very long. So let's jump down to verse 4 now. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together to Jericho. And many of us are familiar with Jericho, aren't we? Jericho represents the place of God's power. Jericho represents the place where the walls of warfare have fallen. You know what, church? We need to not overshelter the next generation. We need to understand that they need to walk beside us around our walls of Jericho. How many have some walls of Jericho that you're marching around right now? I've got a few. I think if you're living life, you've probably got some somewhere. You know what? The next generation, we need to let them march beside us around our walls of Jericho. And you know what? They have their Jericho walls as well. And they need us to walk beside them around their walls. A few days ago, one of my daughters came in to our bedroom, and she said, "Mom, Dad, would you pray for me?" She said, "I've just kind of been struggling with fear lately. The other day I was in the laundry room, and I just found myself kind of afraid, and I was just up in my bedroom, and fear has kind of been trying to work on me." And man, that was just so encouraging. One for us, it's like, wow, she would come and feel hopefully that it's a safe place, amen, that to come to. And then so we encourage her in the things that we've talked about before, that you know what, you have an authority in Christ, and there's weapons of warfare when the enemy tries to come with fear, that you can begin to worship God and set your eyes on him and declare what God's word says, and you can stand against the fear that the enemy wants to bring. And so we prayed for her and sent her back up to bed. And a few hours later, my wife went up to check on her and found that she was asleep. And next to her bed was the Word of God. She had it open to Psalms, and several Psalms underlined. Those Psalms had to do with warfare. It was walls of Jericho that she was marching around. And she needed somebody from a different generation to march around a wall with her. Continuing on in verse 6, "And then Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River.' But again, Elisha replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives, and you yourself live, I will never leave you.' So they went on together." The Jordan River represents the place where God, once again, was going to split a river. The Jordan represents the place where God still splits rivers. Jesus told us to preach the kingdom of God, and not that the kingdom of God is, you know, show up at church and you get a ticket to heaven. He said, preach that the kingdom of God is near. Here. Now. You know what? The next generation, our kids, they need a right now God. Amen? You know what? Those kids in Florida right now, they don't need a sermon. They don't need a church membership card. They need a God that is real in their lives today. And so Elijah, he walks with Elijah back to the Jordan, because the next generation needs to understand that God still does it. It's not just these places from the past, but God is still doing it today. We must walk with him now. So let's put the scripture up there. It says, in verse 7, it says, 50 men from the group of prophets also went, and they watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. And next verse. Then Elijah, he took off his cloak that represented his authority, his Christianity, his calling as a prophet. He divided it. He folded his cloak together, and it says that he struck the river with it, and the river divided, and the two of them, they went across on dry ground. The same God of Gilgal is moving today. And on the other side of the river, God was about to take Elijah back to up to heaven. And Elisha, he tells Elijah, he says, before you go, I want a double portion of your spirit. Because the world isn't the same as it was then. I need a double portion. And I want to carry on the work that you encouraged me with, that I watched you walk in. And Elijah, he says to Elisha, he says, you know what, you've asked for a tough thing. But if you see me when I'm taken to heaven, then you will have what you've asked for. But if you do not see me, you won't have it. Church, we need to let the next generation see us. If they're going to pick up the cloak of God's calling in His kingdom on earth, they need to see us. They have to see us. And let's continue reading. So as they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. And it drove between the two men, separating them. And then Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Next verse. Elisha, he saw and he cried out, my father, I see the chariots and the charioteers of Israel. And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. You see, Elijah was much more than just a mentor. He was a spiritual father. Next verse. And Elisha, he picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. And Elisha, he returned to the bank of the Jordan River. And he struck the water with Elijah's cloak. And he cried out, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Notice he doesn't say, where is my God? My turn. Get these old guys out of the way. He said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Because I saw a man who was a spiritual father to me. And he showed me how to split rivers. He showed me how to make God's house a priority and how to walk with God today. God is calling you to be an Elijah. This isn't just a sermon series. May it not be. We have a God that still splits rivers today. So the question is, as we move on in our Christian walk, is our goal to one day get to live or sit beside a river? Or is it to split a river for the next generation? Stand up with me, church. I'm going to pray. There's a whole generation sitting beside you. And we're so blessed in this church to have so many amazing young people. I'm so confounded by these guys. I mean, they do it better than us in many ways. Incredible. And the reason that they're running and splitting rivers today is because there's been spiritual fathers and mothers in their lives. Let's continue the legacy so that we can pass the mantle well. God, we pray today that you would show us our caves. God, we all have caves of disappointment or fatigue, disillusionment, hurt, questions. God, would you show us our cave today? Lord, we don't want to die on a cave. We want to be carried in a chariot of fire. That's how we want to finish our race, God. God, would you ask us the tough questions? Would you help us to be faithful to complete the mission, to live as spiritual fathers and mothers to the next generation? They need a double portion, God. We pray that you would give it to them. We pray that you would use us to be faithful to pass it on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go love on the next generation. Encourage them. Live before them. God bless you all. We'll see you next week.